You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Was it a mistake in so many states and so many localities to see schools closed as long as they were?
I think in some case, I don't want to use the word mistake, John, because if I do, it gets taken out of the context that you're asking me the question on.
Did we pay too high a price?
Yeah, I would say that what we should realize and have realized that there will be deleterious collateral consequences when you do something like that. This idea that this virus doesn't afflict children is not so. It does. We've lost close to 1,500 kids so far.
But much less than the older population, obviously.
Oh, of course. Yeah. But you shouldn't discount that it does afflict children.
Yeah, but Dr. Fake says, I never said shut down the schools. I never said that. Liar, liar, pants on fire, and we got the tape to prove it coming up. Thank you for joining us, October 17, 2022. We are live streaming, as I speak, at rumble.com. You can go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, one word, Larry Connors, USA. That'll take you to our Rumble page. You can open it up, join us in studio, or you can go back and look at it later at rumble.com. And remember, every audio of each program is posted as a podcast when we finish at larryconnorsusa.com. We're going to get into more of Dr. Fake making his allegations again and making a statement which every parent, every one of any intelligence knew. If you lock kids down and require Zoom learning for a period of months, it's going to hurt their learning ability and their skills. You don't have to be a behavioral scientist or a child education expert to understand that. But, of course, they're the experts. You not so much. We're going to get into that. And which, by the way, according to Epoch Times, this new vaccine that they're pushing for kids has no human test. No human test. It's been tested on maybe 8 mice, and they want to jab your kids with it. As a parent, you need to make the decision. I'm not anti-vax, but you need to make sure you get the best facts you can. And then we have Democrats always trying to buy votes, right? Congressman Crenshaw, Texas, says they're doing it again. And here comes former President Obama saying, in his words, the Democrats are a buzzkill. I mean, just when you're feeling good, the Democrats come along and they kill the buzz. You want to hear why. And that Arizona governor's race, big battle, a lot at stake. Kerry Lake, former news anchor, who's a Republican, versus Katie Hobbs, a Democrat. Kerry Lake being denied an opportunity to go on PBS to do a debate because Katie Hobbs won't do it. And then she didn't get any time from PBS station, while Katie Dobbs, a Democrat, or Hobbs does. There's a big fight there. And, of course, we're going to look at, will Kerry Lake accept the election results if they come? And will Hobbs agree to some restrictions on abortion? Dana Bash, I want to give her credit, did a very good job on CNN State of the Union or State of the State program on CNN over the weekend. I want to break that down for you. And we have a Democrat candidate in another election saying something. Whoops, I wish I hadn't said that. She said, I stand with Big Pharma, not with my constituents. Misspeak or Freudian slip? What do you think? Then you got a teacher who says she was fired because she would not read LGBTQ material to her school, her classmates. I say her children. She is basically reading books to kids at a children's center and said, I'm not going to do it. It's against my religion. She says she got fired for it. We're going to get into that story. And we're also going to be joined by Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. I want his view on a story we did last week. how the University of Minnesota graduating class for 2026 has taken a new Hippocratic Oath. Generally, the Hippocratic Oath was, as a physician, first do no harm and take care of the patient. Now it is a full litany of woke culture issues. I want Dr. Lehman's response. That should be really engaging. You don't want to miss that. And then we're told that climate change is causing disaster around the world, especially famine. So what do some climate change activists do to prove the point that we need to get rid of cattle? They go into supermarkets and they dump milk on the floor, milk which could feed hungry children. That's an answer to climate change? Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I've been holding it so long, I've been sleeping all alone, but I miss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Our big story tonight, decision 2022 and the Arizona governor's race.
The curtains could be coming down on the debate drama surrounding the race for governor. Late this afternoon, Republican candidate Carrie Lake following through on her ultimatum to Arizona PBS.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks so much for joining us. For 12 News at 6, I'm Tram Mai.
I'm Jonathan McCauley. It has been a nonstop week when it comes to decision 2022 here in Arizona.
Team 12's political insider Bram Resnick tells us exactly what is happening in a race being watched all across the nation. Bram?
Well, Carrie Lake demanded a debate with Katie Hobbs next Tuesday on Arizona PBS. She gave the public television station until noon today to respond. There was no response, Lake said in a tweet, so she is done with appearing on PBS.
And that is a very interesting storyline because, again, this is out of Arizona and the governor's race. You have Carrie Lake, the Republican, and the polls are very close at this point. There was a late poll that came out the other day from Fox. Hey, let me correct that. Let me see if it's Fox. I want to verify that. But it showed that they were gaining, she was gaining distance. This was, I don't have the source. I'll be honest with you. I would try to say for sure, but it's missing here, that Lake was leading Hobbs 47% to Hobbs 44%. That was last Friday, before all this blow-up over the weekend about the PBS stuff and the CNN interview which took place, which we're going to get to in a moment. But that's the Republican leading Hobbs by 3%. That's within the margin of error, so you can't get overly excited. Now there's a report that it's within maybe only 1%. But the issue involving the public broadcast operation, this is what something we've been through before, and you've got to keep this in mind. PBS gets federal dollars, and Carrie Lake wanted to do an interview with Hobbs on PBS. Hobbs wouldn't do it, and so Carrie Lake said, well, then I want to go on, and apparently wires got crossed, miscommunications, who knows, whatever you want to call it. Carrie Lake did not get any time on PBS. As she said, they are decimating, the basic principle of what they're supposed to be doing, and yet Hobbs got time on PBS, about a three-minute interview. Which, by the way, that PBS station carries a quote from Walter Cronkite, reference to, you know, journalism integrity. There goes that. But this interview, the debate, I should say, did not take place. But then over the weekend, we had Dana Bash hosting CNN's State of the Union program on Sunday, doing an interview with Katie Hobbs and Carrie Lake. I'm going to have to break it down for you in different parts. Let's begin first with that whole issue about Hobbs not wanting to debate, the Democrat not wanting to debate the Republican, who is a news anchor and probably is very skilled at speaking off the cuff. And I think she probably, and by her handlers, has said, do not talk to the news anchor. Do not do that. Because look at that news anchor said, Larry Connors, they'll eat you alive. Well, I don't know, they said me, but I assume that Carrie Lake is pretty well, obviously, with her experience, going to be good on her feet, whereas maybe Katie Hobbs is not so good. So let's begin with that question, and Dana Bash was questioning Hobbs, why won't you debate?
You declined to participate in a PBS debate against Carrie Lake. Here's what one columnist from the Arizona Republican wrote. Lori Roberts from the Arizona Republic, this is what she wrote. She wrote, if Katie Hobbs loses, remember October 12th, the day she ran away from confronting Carrie Lake. Democrats in Arizona are known for snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, but Hobbs' refusal to debate her opponent on Wednesday represents a new level of political malpractice. Why won't you debate her?
Look, Carrie Lake has made it clear time and time again that she's not interested in having substantive, in-depth conversations about the issues that matter to Arizonans. She only wants a scenario where she can control the dialogue, and she's refused to sit down in a one-on-one lengthy conversation to really clarify with Arizonans where she is on the issues.
Really? Said she won't sit down and have a lengthy one-on-one conversation with where she stands on the issues. Now again, those are the remarks of the Democrat, Carrie Lake, who does not want to go in and debate, Katie Hobbs, that does not want to debate Carrie Lake. Hobbs, a Democrat, just knows that. I would be turned into mincemeat. So what I'm going to say is that, well, there's no sense me debating with her. She won't sit down for any substantive interview with anyone. Dana Bash of CNN, and I'm going to give her credit here, had a retort.
She just came and sat down with me and answered my questions for a lot of minutes. A lot of Democrats are questioning your decision, and they're saying, you know, it's the wrong decision. President Biden's former 2020 co-chair said, I would debate and I would want the people of Arizona to know what my platform is. If you think she's as dangerous as you're saying to democracy, is it your responsibility as a candidate who wants to run Arizona to show and explain who their alternative is?
That is exactly what I'm doing right now. And there is a lot more ability to have a conversation with you without her interruptions and shouting to do that.
Well, that's what she's saying. However, you have to keep in mind, she still just acknowledged that while Carrie Lake will not sit down and have a full interview, Dana Bash said she just did. And to her credit, again, listen, a lot of folks think, you must be anti all the liberal-type media and state-controlled media. No, when they do a good job, let us point out that they're doing a good job. This gets to probably one of the biggest divisive issues we have in our nation right now. No one will accept the other guy isn't, you know, a total monster. They have some good things about them. They have some bad things. They have a lot of warts. We all do. I mean, in the eyes of God, we're all sinners anyway. But when it comes to dealing with each other, we don't have to constantly be gnashing and attacking. And if you see a reason to pray someone, you should. I remember distinctly years ago when I left one particular TV station and moved across town to the other, and someone said, oh, I'll bet you hate that news anchor you're working with. He was really bad and terrible and everything. I said, no, he wasn't. He did a fine job. It's just that I have a new opportunity, and that's what I'm taking. But just because I'm working against him does not mean that he's not good. But I'm afraid right now we reached a point in this country you cannot have acceptance of your opponent and talk about their good traits. I mentioned the PBS thing a moment ago about that station in Arizona. It has up on the top of it, it's also the Arizona PBS. It has Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Well, they felt good enough putting Walter Cronkite's name on there and call it the School of Journalism, and yet the way they're handling the Republican candidate and doing a 3-minute interview with the other and not apparently giving the full opportunity that the other one wanted. And I don't know, there may be some things behind it, but it just doesn't look right. If you really want to prove that you're going to be fair and equal, you should have made sure that you made it clear that we extended her and also a 3-minute interview. She wanted a debate. We're not going to do debate because the candidate on the other side won't debate, but we'll give her the interview. Well, they didn't do that. They gave it to the Democrat. So anyway, the other question that came up when Dana Bash was interviewing Carrie Lake, and it gets down, as you heard, the question of accepting the results. Here is where you're going to see a lot of attacks on Republicans. And they're always going to say, oh, the 2020 election, you guys didn't accept it. And in Arizona, there were a lot of questions about the voting and how they were being tabulated. And Carrie Lake's opponent, the Democrat, Katie Hobbs, was the Secretary of State at the time. She was responsible for making sure the ballots were correctly distributed and counted. Well, apparently there was a real mix-up on that. So when she's asked about, are you willing to accept the results, this goes back to the very essence of when Clinton and was running against Trump. Remember those debates? When they were each asked, will you accept the results of the election? And Hillary Clinton said, well, of course, that's the American thing. You have to. And Trump said, well, I'll wait and see. Oh, and she blasted him, said, how dare you? That's a fundamental of our democracy. And yet Hillary Clinton has yet to accept the fact she lost. She went into all full mode of Russian collusion, steel dossier paid for and bought for by her campaign and the DNC. Stacey Abrams down in Georgia still insists, well, Governor Kemp won, I acknowledge that. You did not acknowledge it, and you still say otherwise, and your supporters say she did not lose, Kemp stole the election. This happens on both sides, but can you at least be honest about it? So again, the question goes back to Dana pushing Carrie Lake, are you going to accept the results?
Let's look at the 2022 election of August 2nd, where 1 hour into election day, because of my opponent Katie Hobbs' incompetence, we ran out of ballots 1 hour into election day in one of our largest counties, Pinal County.
That did happen, and the county officials there apologized.
Only Republican ballots.
I'm going to push back on things that didn't happen. That did happen, and the county and the county officials apologized. But I want to ask about
the
2020 elections.
An apology doesn't bring somebody's vote back. All I'm saying is we need to restore honesty and integrity and transparency to our elections.
But isn't apologizing doing just that? You're right, it doesn't bring votes back, but at least that is transparent. That is transparent. So if leaders like you and President Trump are saying that the election was stolen, aren't you participating, contributing, even causing the idea of people thinking that the election is not safe and secure?
That's the question, but the issue still remains. So again, Dana and Lake go at it again in a different mode, trying to find a different way around it, and Dana's still pushing, are you going to accept the election?
If leaders like you and President Trump are saying that the election was stolen, aren't you participating, contributing, even causing the idea of people thinking that the election is not safe and secure?
No, we are going to make sure our elections are safe and secure for Democrats, independents, and Republicans alike. We want to know that our legal vote counted. We want to know the winner on election night. We don't want to be counting for 10 days.
But
and we want everyone to know.
But shouldn't you count it? Don't you want your votes to be counted? No matter how long it takes in 2022, in November?
Dana, I've been on the campaign trail for 503 days. I talked to moms and dads who are losing children because of fentanyl poisoning. I talked to retirees who can't afford gas and food. I talked to parents whose children are getting out of high school and can't read. We have serious problems.
I totally agree, which is why the election denial.
And you want to have me on here, Dana. You want to have me on here and talk 2020 election, and you're the one who accuses me.
I would never bring this up, ever, had you not been bringing this up consistently on the campaign trail. Let's look forward, then.
Can we talk?
Will you accept the results of the election?
Will you accept the result of the election? Well, she had more to say about that in the sense that she has no doubt how the election is going to go. We're going to take a break, and we come back, and we'll pick up with that aspect of it because, again, this is very extensive debating going back and forth, and that question about accepting the election is going to be on everybody's mind. Is my vote going to even count? Is it going to be fair? I encourage you, regardless of what your thoughts are, make sure you vote. If you don't vote, you don't have a say in any of this. Let's pick up the rest of this story when we continue on the other side of the break. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Let's look ahead,
Dana,
and let's talk about the 2022 election. Will you accept the results of your election, Ms. Lake?
I'm running against a twice convicted racist who cost the state taxpayers $3 million because of her hatred for people of color. She paid a woman of color in her office $30,000 less than men doing the same job. Last week, we learned she held a slave auction, a mock slave auction in high school. We saw her running from a black reporter, hiding in the bathroom from him. I'm not going to lose this election because
I'm going to talk to Katie Hobbs. I'm going to talk to Katie Hobbs right after we're done.
Arizona will never elect a racist like Katie Hobbs.
My question is, will you accept the results of your election in November?
I'm going to win the election, and I will accept that result.
If you lose, will you accept that?
I'm going to win the election, and I will accept that result because the people of Arizona will never support and vote for a coward like Katie Hobbs who won't show up on a debate stage. She's single-handedly destroying a 20-year tradition of gubernatorial debates because of her cowardice. So I know already no momentum behind her. The polls are in our favor, and we're going to win this election. I'm 100% confident of that.
So there's no reason to question the results, right? Well, Dana Bash did have Katie Hobbs, a Democrat, on shortly after the interview with Carrie Lake, and she centered in on the issue, abortion.
Let's talk about the issue of abortion. You said last week that you support leaving the decision between a woman and her doctor and leaving politicians entirely out of it. So can you clarify, do you support any legal limits on abortion in Arizona?
Look, the fact is right now that we are under an extreme 15-week ban that limits healthcare options for women who need them. There's the potential for a complete ban. Right now, that ban is in the courts, but under my opponent's administration, she would support a full ban. She's called this a great law. She doesn't support any exceptions for rape
support?
Or incest. Look, when you're talking about late-term abortion, that is incredibly, extremely rare. And it's happening if there is, if that conversation is happening, it's because there's something that's gone incredibly wrong in the pregnancy. And politicians do not belong in that decision.
But what
there
do you no support? What should the limits be?
The decision about abortion should be between a patient and their doctor.
So there should be no limits in the law? It should only be decided in the medical office?
Government making these kind of mandates interferes with the care that doctors need to provide to their patients. They don't belong in these decisions.
Go back to that answer every time. They will not answer directly because they know the answer you won't like. So once again, Dana Bash tries one more time to clarify with Katie Hobbs.
So just to be clear, if you become governor, you will push for a law that has absolutely no limits in any point of the pregnancy on abortion. That's your position. That's what you would want to be the law of the land in Arizona.
The fact is right now that we have very limited options and that we need to get politicians out of the way and let doctors provide the care that they are trained to provide, the health care that their patients need. Politicians don't belong in those decisions.
Isn't the patient also the baby? Oh, that's right. We're not going to consider it a baby. Good God, these people will never understand that's a living being with a beating heart at that point. No restrictions whatsoever. That's still what they really want. Now, do I support full restrictions totally? I have some questions about that. But here's where this issue stands on a recent Fox poll. Abortion is a concern at the top of the list for 71% of those surveyed. Crime, 70%, I should say 72%. Inflation, 89%. That's where the rubber is hitting the road for most Americans. So anyway, that's the debate going on between the governor candidates, gubernatorial candidates in Arizona. It's a hot bid, and it's important. But the Senate and the House are the most important. And according to a recent poll from CBS News, the Republicans' lead in control of the House is gaining. Gaining. Maybe it will hold. Coming up, Dr. Rick Layman on the new Hippocratic Oath of medical students.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota. For all customers and employees, Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Glad to have with us, as we've had numerous times before. Always appreciate his insight on things. Dr. Rick Layman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Doctor, glad to have you with us again, sir.
Thank you, Larry. I'm happy to be here.
And I always want to point out for the audience, in full transparency, that I've used Dr. Layman several times, two different shoulder rotator cuffs and other consultations. So it's a friend relationship as well as a professional. And at the same time, he knows that I throw some tough questions sometimes. And let's begin with one. What is your view of that? What is supposed to be the Hippocratic Oath? What's the basis for it?
Well, so the basis of the Hippocratic Oath is simple, and that is you're supposed to do no harm, you're supposed to have the patient in your best interest, and you have to relish life. You know, your job is to provide the patient with the best chance to live with the best medicine. And quite honestly, there's some versions of it, and it's changed over the years, but the truth of the matter is, at this point, the Hippocratic Oath really should just be about patient care, taking care of patients.
Help me understand something very quickly, because I was just having this as part of a subject in the previous previous segment. One of the candidates for the governorship in Arizona, the Democrat, was talking about being asked, what do you think about abortion restrictions? And they said, well, that's not to be decided by politicians. It's between the doctor and the patient, the doctor's care of the patient. Riddle me this. Is the baby not also a patient at that time for the doctor?
Well, for sure the patient. You know, of course. So the baby, the unborn baby, is a patient. You have to look out for their welfare as well. But I do think there's some validity to say, you know, why is this a political thing? It should be a personal thing. But I also think it's incumbent upon two things. One, the doctor to take care of the mom in the best, in the safest way, and the baby in the safest way. So, yes, I would agree.
And if the mom is able to speak and communicate that she doesn't want the baby has no chance to speak or say anything. Doctors often encounter patients that come in either comatose or severely injured or wrecked. They can't communicate. They still give them the best care possible without asking them, what do you need, correct?
Absolutely. And that, you know, that happens. People come in. They can't make a decision. The family won't make a decision. And the doctor has to make a decision. So, again, getting back to the Hippocratic Oath, you have to be an advocate for the patient.
Well, I've always said, and no disrespect, you certainly understand that maybe vets are the very, I won't say the best doctors, but the most intuitive, because that patient can't tell them anything.
Right. That's exactly right. You know, they got to be on their A game.
Now, let's go back to the Hippocratic Oath. I sent you a copy of something I read on the air last week. The medical students, University of Minnesota, for the class of 2026, are now, their Hippocratic Oath is to honor all indigenous ways of healing, historically marginalized by Western medicine, and fight white supremacy, colonialism, gender binary, ableism, and all forms of oppression. Where does that fit into do the patient no harm?
So I listened to the whole thing a couple of times when it came out, and I have to tell you, you know, I don't think this has any place in medicine. And it talks about white supremacy, and it talks about indigenous people, and I think you have to treat everybody the same. You know, you have to do the best you can. You got to be the best doctor you can be. Life is precious. Patient care is precious. And we should do the same for Larry Connors as Joe Blow off the street, as everybody. Whether they have money or don't have money, that makes no difference to me. So my opinion is all this other stuff, you know, to me is adding, is a separatism thing. It's a woke thing. And I don't think it has any place in medicine, because I don't think you should treat, you know, it almost marginalizes a white guy, you know, Rick Lehman, Larry Connors. And I don't think they should be treated worse either. So my opinion is this has no place in medicine.
Well, part of this thing, when they refer to indigenous ways, I mean, there's a lot of holistic healing that's taking place that those who actually came out of medical school and are doctors like you and others that have taken a different route for a medical, they're not shamans, although shamans would qualify as holistic healing for Indian tribes and so forth, but so-called witch doctors, or whatever you want to refer to them, where's the balance here?
Well, first of all, I have no problem with that. You know, I have no problem. I think a chiropractor, Hippocratic Oath is the same. The best of his ability to treat people. And the Hippocratic Oath also says if you can't do it, send the patient somewhere else. The verb is a little better. And so I think that's fair. And I think shaman is the same. You know, if they have methods that are working, I have no problem with that. What I have problems with is all of a sudden saying, you know, that we've had white supremacy in the past and we need to get past Western medicine. And again, if you're not learned in Western medicine, you practice the best medicine you can.
Which brings us to the Eastern medicine, and I know several chiropractors and medical doctors. In fact, I think you might have, correct me if I'm wrong, also advocate, you're an advocate for acupuncture from time to time.
Absolutely. And I'm not so stupid to think that I know everything about medicine. And I think they have a lot to offer. And just because we don't understand some of the stuff in Eastern medicine, then that's fine. But dry needling, acupuncture, I'm a huge, and chiropractic. I mean, I'm a huge fan. And again, I think you stay in your lane. Like, I try to stay in my lane. And I think that you do the best you can. But the patient always comes first, and that's what this is all about.
Now, you bring up chiropractic medicine. When I grew up in Texas, you know, it took, you could just put a shingle on your door if you could work somebody's massage when you consider a chiropractor. The probably the best in the Midwest, and maybe one of the ones best in the nation, is Logan Chiropractic here in St. Louis. And they've turned out numerous. And I know a nephew who finished at top of his a degree at A&M on microbiology, and on the weekends, or rather during the summer, to pay his way through, he was doing chiropractic medicine. He fell in love with holistic approach and hands-on, and so after he finished A&M, full degree, then he comes to Logan and finishes and gets a full degree. And it's much more detailed than a lot of people now think. But I'm also looking at the fact that there are some people, and you, since you treat a lot of sports athletes, I'm sure you must see cases where, you know, you could either do surgery or you could send them to a chiropractor that you trust that will still be able to evaluate and help them.
Well, and I have a lot of trust and a lot of experience and good luck with chiropractic medicine. And, you know, I have a group of guys I refer to. My patients do very well. You know, we're not treating lung infections with chiropractic, but biomechanical things, you know, they're far superior than I am, and they do a good job. So I think that just completes the picture.
Again, going back to what this class of Minnesota has decided to, they write their own Hippocratic Oath. I don't know if you're aware, this is something they decided as a body to sit down and write. So it includes everything but, and probably almost the kitchen sink. I mean, they don't leave anything that might be open for misinterpretation. But the result of the reaction from Dr. Stanley Gofarb, chair of the medical watchdog Do No Harm, which I'm sure you're familiar with, says that these students recite the pledge must forget about the traditional role of the physician as healer of the sick and express guilt for the incredible advances in medicine that have enabled huge improvements. They are forgetting the whole focus of their role by society is heal the sick.
First of all, we're, you know, what is the Hippocratic Oath? It's your pledge to do the right thing. So if you get a job at Wendy's, your pledge is to make the best hamburger you can make. And it shouldn't be any more than that. So I think to get, you know, to say we want to make sure we're inclusive, sure we're inclusive. And to make sure that we're doing the right thing for the patient, you know, and everyone doesn't. Everyone doesn't have the right motives, but I'm going to tell you, most guys do. Most doctors do the best they can, and that's what it's about. And I think when we get off on these tangents, you know, it becomes political, and I just don't think there's any place for that. I don't care if you're Democrat, Independent, where you are.
And I'm going to call out something. You keep saying he, but I know you mean in a general consensus, doctors, be they female or male.
Absolutely. Or whatever you want to call them.
You don't have third gender doctors, do you? I don't know that you have those. But real quick, Dr. Fake is out again and saying, you know, I never told the schools to close in 30 seconds. This man, and now they got a new vaccine pushing that has not had any human trials. Your thoughts on that in the last 30 seconds?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I think following him is a detriment to the country. And I think that we did so much damage with these kids not going to school for 2 years, and we're going to pay for that. ACT scores are the lowest they've ever been now since this, okay? And so that's the first thing. And all those trials were done on mice. So if your mice has COVID, go get that vaccine. But if your mice doesn't have COVID, please leave it alone.
All right. Dr. Rick Lehman, the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, as always, I appreciate your time, sir.
Bye, Lair.
We'll do it again. Coming up, did I get more viewers for Jake Tapper on his new CNN program than even CNN and NN gave him? Maybe. I'll explain when we continue. Here's exciting news for Cafe Napoli. Soon there will be Napoli Sea. Unique, exquisite, the finest, freshest seafood, lobster, crab, the best caviar. Napoli Sea will be next door to Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles. So it's going to be easy to satisfy your seafood craving or the finest Italian food. Napoli Sea, coming soon, joining Cafe Napoli St. Charles, Town and Country, and Clayton.
Larry Connors USA.
So there's a child care teacher in California that is suing her former employer. She says she was fired for refusing on religious grounds to read books to children that featured same-sex couples. She worked at the Bright Horizons Children's Center in Studio City. She filed her complaint in the Superior Court of California last week. She said, I've been there for 4 years. I'm aware of the books at the location, but I've never been forced to read them. Well, apparently the director of the location in April, who's a lesbian, became aware that the woman didn't really want to read the books and took exception to them. So she said, you know what? We're just going to force you to read them. We're going to put you on the line. You're going to decide what you want to do. And claimed that by her not wanting to read the books, that then she was creating a dangerous and frightening environment for others. They called her into the office, questioned her, she says, in an irate matter, told her if you don't want to celebrate diversity, this is not the place for her to work, gave her an administrative leave memo, escorted her outside with a security guard, left her out in the 96-degree heat with no transportation. She had to walk 20 minutes in the heat, wait 45 minutes for transportation. She claimed she had suffered heat exhaustion for the next 2 days and afraid to return to work. Now, again, you have to keep in mind this is someone's complaint within a court case. Over the years, Bright Horizons has often voiced support for the LGBTQ movement as part of its overall effort to advance inclusive and diversity. So when she went into this, she obviously knew that they had to be doing that. She'd been there for 4 years. They take part in pride parades. They read books to children like Daddy, Papa, Me and Mommy, Mama and Me, and things of that nature. But the special counsel, Thomas More Law Society special counsel, is helping her, said, we believe this is, quote, a clear-cut case of one of the largest child care employers in the country having anti-religious workplace policies that promote indoctrination of young children with the LGBT agenda. We have to stop here for a moment. If you're sending your kids to such a school and you know they do that, then you're basically saying it's okay. This is a private daycare type thing for these kids. And so you're sending them there. They may well be exposed to it. Now, if you didn't know they were being exposed to it, now you do. One response came from a group that said a message from the Dallas Theological Seminary. We have online degrees designed to help you immerse in all 66 books of the Bible and prepare you to serve wherever God calls you. Learn more. So they're saying, you know, just walk away from it and basically shake the dust from your feet. You're not wanted, and go somewhere where you will be and where you can use and do God's work if that's contrary to what you want to do. The governor of Arizona, Ducey, the other day, had came up with a piece that I meant to spend more time on today, was going to open up charter schools for everyone, basically. It is the most expansive school choice legislation in recent memory. When he signed it into law the other day, that kids and families in every corner of Arizona can access the education that fits their needs. I mean, even from K school all the way through 12th grade, that in Arizona they will fund the students, not the system. So if the students need to go to another school for better education, they will help them do so. And that's great, because families are in neighborhoods that have poor schools and poor schooling and different situations. They need a chance to do something else. I think it's going to be a great project. I want to see it as a model for the Republican Party moving forward. It should be a model for every parent that I want my child to go to the best school available. And if I can't afford it, we will get help getting it. I'm not talking about high-end Ivy League private schools. We're talking about lower education, but make sure they get the basic education. I think we're going to have to see more of that come forward. So the other day, CNN moved Jake Tapper to primetime, and his debut interview featured Joe Biden. Now, I did a lot of clips from Joe Biden and Tapper interview the other day and gave Tapper props for where he asked some good, tough questions and followed up. But the results are in, and it says on that same night, Hannity grabbed 2.6 million viewers, and Tapper barely got 854,000. So I'm just wondering, if he could only get that, and he had Aaron Burnett and Anderson Cooper drawing leading in, and he actually fell 10% from what their numbers were. The writer for Breitbart says, I understand why it went south, because when you interview a Democrat, especially a failed Democrat, in the weeks just before a crucial election, you can be sure of one thing, Tapper will make sure no news will be made. There really was no news, but I was giving Tapper some credit for some of the questions he asked and stayed with. But he said, well, everybody knew this would be a joke, a softball rally, so why watch it? So for those of you listening to the portions I aired for you, we might have had more people listening to Larry Connors USA and hear the Jake Tapper Biden interview than they had on CNN. Ha! I love it. Tapper, you can thank me as well, by the way. Send your check to Larry Connors USA. Coming up in the next hour, Dr. Fate. I didn't tell schools to close down. We got the tape proving you did. And the vaccine tested only on mice now going to your kids?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.